passage for today, and it's from Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. After they had heard the king, that's the wise men, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Hello, everybody. It's nice to see all of you. My name's Jamie. I'm the pastor here at Argyll Community Church, and I'm just going to share with you this morning the wise men and the gifts they gave to Jesus and how one gift was seemingly rather inappropriate. But before we begin, the stewards have some worksheets for the children, okay? Now, children, if you complete your worksheet, you get to have a lucky dip in this kind of big Christmas bag. There are lots of gifts in here, okay? So make sure you get one, fill it in. They should be handing around pens or pencils as well. And come to Alison at the end, who was just leading, and she'll have this, and you can have a dip and see what present you get, okay? But before we begin, I thought we'd start off with a, I can get it going, quiz. Now, we've just finished a series here at Argyll called Building a Church for All Nations. So we've looked at how God loves people from all nations, not just Western nations, not just white nations, but all nations all around the world. And so I thought it'd be appropriate to finish our year with a quiz about Christmas from around the world. Now, this is kind of a quiz for the children, but I kind of thought the questions are a little bit difficult. So adults, do try and help the children if you can, all right? And whisper them the answers if they're struggling. And if you get the question right, you will get a little chocolate from Alison. She'll come and give you one. So let's start our first question, shall we? In which country are Christmas presents traditionally delivered by the Jólasveinar, or the Yule lads? There's a picture of these strange Yule lads here. Anyone know? What do you think, Gregory?
Ireland?
No, not Ireland. Good guess, though. Not Scotland, no. Further north than that.
Maybe.
No. Adults. I'll throw it open to the adults. Iceland is correct. Well done. Graham, you get a sweet. Yeah. Right, next question. According to Swedish tradition, which animals pull Santa's sleigh? No. Not reindeer. Anyone else? This is different, you see. Different from our traditions. This is Swedish tradition. Anyone want to have a... No? Right, throw it open to the adults. Yeah. No. Shri ask our resident... And translated as... Well, I've got mountain goats. So I think I'll have to have a sweet. I can't remember where I found that from. Oh, yeah, we'll give Howard a sweet, definitely. Right, next question. Where in the world can you find John Canoe dancers celebrating Christmas? Is it A, Jamaica, B, Kenya, C, the Maldives, or D, New Zealand? Someone from... It's not the Maldives, so that's been narrowed down, so there's a 1 in 3 chance of getting it. Anyone want to? We already said C. A, B, or D? Gregory? It is A, Jamaica. These are dancers here that apparently you see in Christmas in Jamaica. Right, next one. In the Netherlands now, Sinterklaas, or Santa Claus, traditionally arrives each year or in mid-November by steamboat from which country? Oh, does anyone know that?
Egypt?
No, not Egypt.
Cyprus?
No. Anyone else? This is in Europe, this country.
North Pole.
No, the North Pole. I'll throw it, no, not, no, sort of the right area. I'll throw it open to the adults now. Make sure that. Lapland, no, it's in, no, right. No, I'll have to give it to you. It's Spain. I think we're going to go around Europe, weren't we? But you can have a sweet anyway. Oh, did you say Spain? That well, give them a sweet, that's fine. Sorry. Right then. Okay, in which country is Kuno, which is a sweet bread, traditionally served for Christmas breakfast? We'll throw this open to everyone straight away, because this is a bit of an obscure one as well. Anyone? This is Europe as well. Sorry? Very close. Very warm. Near France. No, not as far away as Sweden. Near... Pardon? No, it's near France and the Netherlands, that kind of area, and Germany. Yes, Belgium. Well done. I don't know who got that. Everyone kind of... Put your hand up if you want a sweet. There's plenty there. Where are we? I think this is our last one. Which date is Christmas Day in Russia?
26.
Not the 26th, no. The 7th of January is correct. Well done. Right. Bang on. Nice. Good. Thank you, everyone. Right. Let's spend some time then thinking about these wise men and the gifts that they gave to Jesus and how they seemed a bit strange. One of them seemed inappropriate, but actually they were spot on. They were perfect gifts for this baby. Now, I wonder whether you are a family who write Christmas lists or whether you don't bother with lists, you just want it to be a surprise. I come from a list family, and I'm a proud Christmas list writer. But my wife is not, and my wife detests lists. She says it steals all of the joy and surprise out of Christmas. And I've come to realise that actually it is nice to be surprised, unless the gift giver gets it very, very wrong and completely messes it up and gives a very inappropriate or strange or weird gift. Now, I found a nice list of the worst Christmas gifts ever, okay? And these made me laugh, so I hope they do you as well. So the first one, my grandparents got me a previously used, incomplete set of 101 Dalmatian marker pens. I was 22 at the time. Rather disgruntled there. How about this one? Every year, for the past 3 years, my boyfriend's mother gets me a brand new Black & Decker rice cooker. I don't even make rice that often, but I now own 3 rice cookers. And yes, I act surprised every year. Well, what about this one? He got a 6-pack of AA batteries, only 4 in the container. Great, what a gift. My grandma got me woodblock cars 1 year. I was 15. How about this one? I like the kind of the way this is written. A used cookbook. You can hear the sarcasm, can't you? Graciously given to me by the same people that gave my little sister a full snowboarding set. The sister gets a whole snowboarding set. She gets a used cookbook. And this one, the last one, made me laugh. Temporary glittery metallic tattoo kit made for an 8-year-old girl. Butterflies and phrases like girls rule. When I was 15, I'm a male too. Very inappropriate gifts. But isn't it lovely when you get given a gift which is just right? It's so nice, isn't it? And we're going to watch a video clip now from The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe about 3 children who were given a gift and they kind of thought, what's this all about? But they found out later on that it was just right for them. So let's watch the clip. So 3 children, 3 gifts, not the sort of gifts you'd normally give children. But if you know the story, read it if you want to find out. They were just right. They were very appropriate for what the children were going to become later on in the story. So let's think about the gifts, the three gifts that the wise men gave to Jesus, shall we? Now, the first gift. Now, I have the three gifts here, not the very same ones, but kind of modern interpretations of them. I need a volunteer, a child, to volunteer to come up and unwrap this gift, okay? So, do you want to come up and find out what the first gift was? Hold it up and show everyone.
Gold.
All right, you can sit down and keep that. Apparently, there's a little sort of, there is some gold in there, says on the packet, tiny little bit. Gold. Yes, that's what the first gift was. Now, why was a young child given gold? Well, the carol that we sang just before I came up and spoke tells us, doesn't it, if you noticed? Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Boys and girls, what does that tell us about Jesus and why he was given gold? What do you think? Can you tell from the carol? Can you tell? No? Well, king is the key word. Jesus was a king. Not just any old king, but the King of Kings, God's special chosen king. And he had come, and that's why the wise men gave gold. And that Jesus is a king is good news for us at Christmas and for the rest of our lives, because we need a good king in our lives, a good king to look after us. We have lots of needs. We need them meeting, those needs, and we need a good king. But we also need a powerful king. It's no good having someone good who's powerless, is it? We need a powerful king because we have lots of enemies that we can't defeat. Now, history has had lots of different kings, hasn't it? And queens and presidents and prime ministers and supreme leaders and so on. And earlier on in the year, we looked at these six and we kind of thought how the top row, probably everyone would agree they're fairly good. Good, yeah, good leaders. Problem is, didn't last for that long, did they? They're all dead and gone now. They reign for a while, and then they finish. And then we looked at the bottom row, a very powerful set of leaders, three men. But unfortunately, it seemed that the power went to their heads. And history tells us that the bottom three were responsible for the deaths of over 100 million people in the 20th century. That's what tends to happen when humans are given a lot of power, doesn't it? We misuse it and we end up harming people, sometimes in a huge way, in the case of these three leaders. So what we need is a good king and a powerful king. But here's another king. Does anyone know the name of this king? I heard it somewhere. Yes, King Canute. Now legend has it that he was a very proud king, and he kind of said to his court and his people, I want to show you how powerful I am. And he said, take my throne down to the beach. And he sat on his throne and he said, I'll show you that I'm so powerful I can hold back the sea. I'll stop the tide coming in. But what happened? He got wet feet. However, if you've been watching Penelope Keith's Coastal Villages on TV, you may have learned that there's another take on King Canute. Apparently, according to Penelope Keith, he wasn't a proud king. He was a humble king. Okay? And he did the same thing. He got his throne taken down to the beach. He got the people who were in his court there and his people to watch. And he said, I want to show you something. I'm going to try and hold back the sea. And of course, he couldn't. And he said to them, a king may be incredibly powerful, but no king is as powerful as God. No king has the power to hold back, to control the sea. He wanted them to understand that even though he had a lot of power, he was subject to God. But you know what? There was a king who could hold back the sea. Remember this king?
Jesus.
Yeah. And he did, didn't he? And he was saying, I have ultimate power. I can even calm the sea. I mean, I can't even calm my bath water. But Jesus calmed the sea. It's incredible, isn't it? He was demonstrating his power. And as I said, this is so good. Because he wasn't just powerful, he was a good king. He wants to care for us and love us and look after us forever. He has a deep concern for everyone in this world. And also, he defeats our enemies. Some of the three greatest enemies we have are sin and death and Satan. Sin has this tendency to control us. But Jesus never sinned. He was more powerful than sin. And he gives us power over sin when we trust in him. Death is our biggest enemy. Nobody has the power to escape death except Jesus. Jesus says, trust in me and I'll take you safely through death into eternal life. Satan is our enemy. He's a fallen angel. He wants to only harm us. But Jesus showed that he is more powerful than Satan. We find that out in the last book of the Bible, Revelation. This is why Christmas is such good news. Jesus is a good king and a powerful king who wants to love us and bless us forever. The good kings of history, their reigns come to an end, but not Jesus. I want to ask you this question. Is he king of your life? Often we make ourselves kings of our lives, don't we? We say, it's all about me, and I don't really want anyone else telling me what to do or how to live. But Jesus invites us to make him king of our life. He says, trust me, I've only got your good. I only want the best for you. I want you to blossom and bloom and flourish. I really do. He invites you this Christmas to make him the king of your life. Let's move on to the second gift. I need another volunteer to unwrap our next gift, okay? Gregory, do you want to come up? Or you can do it there, actually. Take care, because it's a bit loose inside. Don't want it to fall on the floor. That's it. Well done. Now, do you want to pass it to me so I can show everyone? I went to Lush Cosmetics earlier on in the week, and I bought a Blue Skies Fluffy White Bubble Bar, okay? Which is this. Now, have a smell afterwards. It smells amazing because it actually has in it frankincense, part of the ingredients. Your mum might want that, Gregory. She'd like that, or your grandmother. Because frankincense is, here's a picture actually of a frankincense tree found in Oman or Yemen or Somalia, the kind of Arabian peninsula. It's an aromatic resin that comes from the tree and is used in things like perfume. But also, importantly, and this is why it was such an appropriate gift for Jesus, frankincense was used in the worship of God. That's what it was used for. Let's look at the carol again. Frankincense to offer have I. Incense owns a deity. Nigh, God. Prayer and praising, all men raising, worship him, God on high. The incredible thing about Christmas is that God came into the world. Not God the Father, not God the Holy Spirit, but God the Son. Jesus was God. And he had come to earth. And that's why the wise men gave him frankincense, because they came to worship God. Did you see how often worship is mentioned in that passage from Matthew? They wanted to find him, magi from the east. Wise men came and asked, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star. We want to worship him. And then they find him. And what do? They bow down and worship him. You're not supposed to worship other humans, are you? Often there's problems if we end up worshipping people. It's only God who deserves worship. But these wise men go on this massive long journey and worship Jesus. Why? Because he was God. You see, Christmas is all about God with us. And that is such good news. Because often we go through life and we're lonely or we feel alone. It's estimated that 250,000 old people will celebrate Christmas alone this year in the UK. That's so sad, isn't it? We can be lonely. And we don't just feel lonely when we're alone. We can feel alone because we struggle to connect with other people, because we're different from people. because we're not accepted by people. Boys and girls, you can be in a playground, can't you, with loads of kids running around you, and you feel alone because you haven't got many friends. Jesus came to be with us so we don't have to walk through life alone. So he can be our friend, our companion, our helper, our big brother. That's the good news of Christmas. We see that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The word, that's referring to Jesus, John 1, 14, became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. Boys and girls, that means lived amongst us. That's incredible. You know, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph would have gone back home, moved back into their house, and quite literally, for the people living either side of them, God would have moved in next door. How about that? He did that because he wanted to live with his people and know how they lived and experience the life they experienced day by day. Boys and girls, imagine this. Imagine that your next door neighbours move out, okay, and the house is empty, and you wonder who your new neighbours are going to be. And then one day a removal van arrives, okay, and you see all the furniture being carried in, and they settle in, and you leave it a few days, and then you go around with a card saying, welcome to the neighbour, and you introduce yourself, and you knock on the door, and you think, oh, I wonder what my new neighbour is going to be like. And the door opens, and it's the Queen of England, and she's moved in next door to you. And imagine that. What would you do? Would you bow? Would you curtsy? Would you say, Your Majesty? But she said, no, call me Liz, please. I want to be with you. Imagine that. Well, it's hard to imagine it, isn't it? But God, the Lord of all the universe, did that. He moved in next door to the people in his street. And when we become Christians, God wants to move into our heart, as it were, by his Holy Spirit, because he doesn't want us to walk through life alone. He wants to be there for us and give us the power that we need to overcome sin so it doesn't control us, and the companionship we all need. And he wants to bring other people into our lives who can love us and care for us, bring us into the family, the faith family of God. That's why it's such good news that Jesus became a baby, because it means that God is with us. Let's finish off then with the third gift. I need another volunteer who can open the present, okay? Miriam, again, be careful, and you can read out what's on it. I made another visit to that shop, Lush. If you've been in there, you kind of nearly faint as you go in. It smells so strong. Right, what is it, Miriam? A metamorphic bath bomb, and it has in it myrrh. That's one of the ingredients, okay? And myrrh is used today in kind of health stuff and perfumes and stuff. But back then, so this is some myrrh. It's the dried sap or the resin of the common myrrh tree, which again is found in the Arabian Peninsula, Oman, Yemen, but also Djibouti, Ethiopia, countries like that. And it's used in stuff like perfume, but back then it had two main uses, and this is the gift that seemed rather inappropriate, okay? This seemed very weird, because back then it was used for pain relief when you were in extreme pain, or it was used to embalm dead bodies, so you'd pack myrrh around the body to stop it smelling. Now, isn't that a strange gift to give a young child? It'd be like turning up at a three-year-old's birthday party and saying, here's a coffin for you, happy birthday. It'd be so inappropriate, wouldn't it? People would be like, whoa, what are you saying? So why did the wise men give this strange gift of myrrh to Jesus? Well, myrrh reminds us that Jesus was going to grow up, and he was going to suffer, and he was going to die for us. Myrrh pointed forward to that fact. We sang about it, didn't we? Strange verse, because it was a strange gift. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume, breathes a life of gathering gloom, not a very happy verse of the carol, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in a stone cold tomb. Myrrh points to the death of Jesus. Myrrh is mentioned at Jesus's, the start of his life and the end of his life. We see it here. He was hanging on the cross. They offered him wine mixed with myrrh. They thought it would relieve pain, but he didn't take it. He wanted to experience the full suffering of the cross. And then later on, Nicodemus comes. He brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 35 kilograms. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. That's what they did in those days when somebody died. Myrrh, to alleviate pain, to embalm dead bodies. This seemed so inappropriate, but it actually pointed to Jesus' mission, the whole point of why he came into the world, to suffer and die for us. Now, why did he need to do that? Well, the fact of the matter is, all of us do wrong things. The Bible calls that sin. We don't like to think about it, but it's a stark fact that we're reminded of. We're reminded every time we read the newspaper or watch the news, but we, if we're honest, can look at ourselves and think, there have been times when I've wronged other people. There have been times when I've done wrong against God as well. And because God is just, he has to punish us for the wrong things we do. He can't just leave it unpunished. It's good to punish bad, isn't it? It's right to punish wrong. That's justice. And because God has perfect justice, he will punish everyone who does wrong forever after they die. But here's the good news. He doesn't want to. He knows that we're weak and we struggle and we fall into sin. He wants to save us from punishment. And that's why he sent Jesus. Jesus voluntarily said, I will suffer and die in the place of people who deserve it. I will willingly give myself, go through the pain of hell on the cross so other people can escape. It's amazing, isn't it, that he was prepared to do that. I want to explain it to you by talking about these things that this man is sitting on, pallets. Now, when I was at school, at middle school, we used to love playing around the back of the games block because nobody could see what we were getting up to. Anyway, one day, there was a load of pallets kind of leaning against the wall. And I don't know why we thought this, but we thought it'd be brilliant fun to smash them all up. We kind of showered strongly and kind of kicking them like that and just completely smashing them. And so we spent a very happy break time doing that and thought nothing of it. And then I was sitting in my history lesson and a messenger arrived and said, you've got to go and see Mr. Funning. We used to call him Mr. Funny, the games teacher. But he's actually Mr. Funning, but he wasn't in a funny mood that day because those pallets belonged to him. And I had gone and my friends had smashed them up and I got such a punishment, I got such a shouting out, I was so scared and I got a detention as well. But just imagine if I had in that school a twin brother, an identical twin, who looked exactly like me and would have looked even more like me because he had the exact same school uniform on. Imagine if my brother was in that history lesson and he said, I'll go. I'll go up and I'll take your punishment even though I didn't smash those pallets up, even though I've done nothing wrong. Imagine that. Imagine the love that that brother would have had for me to say, I don't deserve it, but I don't want you to be punished, even though you do deserve it. That, in effect, is what Jesus did as our big brother. He said, you deserve to be punished. I don't, because I've never sinned, but I love you. I want to save you from punishment. That's why myrrh was given, to point to Jesus as the Saviour, that he would suffer and die in our place. To finish then, how do we receive salvation? Salvation means being saved. How can we know we're saved? Does anyone know what car this is? Any petrol heads? A what? I don't think so. An Audi TT. Yeah, this is one of my favourite cars. My favourite edition is the Mark 1. You can see the TT there. Does anyone know what TT... This is going somewhere, I promise you. Does anyone know what TT stands for? Okay. Sorry? No. A lot of people think it stands for twin turbo, but here's a little petrol head fact. It actually stands for Tourist Trophy. You know the Isle of Man TT race? It's named after that motorbike race. Anyway, why do I mention my favourite car? Well, it's to help you boys and girls, and all of us actually, to remember that all we need to do to know that we're saved is TT. We have to remember those two letters, TT. Nothing to do with the car. We have to turn and trust. That's all we need to do. We have to turn away from our sin and turn to God and live with Him as our King. And we have to trust in Jesus and say, I believe you died for me. You were punished in my place. That's all we have to do. God makes it easy for us. We don't have to learn loads of facts, have an exam. We don't have to do loads of religious stuff. We just have to TT, turn and trust. So next time you see an Audi TT on the road, remember, all you have to do to be saved is turn and trust. That's the good news of Christmas. Thank you very much.